This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, this is Tim Echols in studio in Athens. My producer, Logan Booker, here. Casey Boyce, my co-host. Casey, how's it going?
Doing well. Always great to be with you this morning.
Casey, you work for Escalent. You guys work a lot with auto manufacturers. We're going to be talking to Steve Middlebrooks from Hayward Allen Toyota, a local dealer here. Escalent, tell us a little bit about what Escalent does.
We're a human behavior and market analytics company, and we do a lot of work for automakers in understanding product, branding, marketing, all of that sorts of thing. We've done a bunch of work on the retail side of the house, working with NADA and some individual dealer groups. But it's always good to talk to dealers because, Steve, you guys are where the rubber meets the road, right? Where the products and the customers come together. So you've always got such a great and unique perspective to bring to that.
And Steve, let me introduce Steve Middlebrooks. He is here in Athens at Hayward Allen Toyota, a dealership that my family has complete confidence in. We bought numerous vehicles there. I get my vehicles serviced there. In fact, I love to just go and hang out at your dealership because you've got internet, it's comfortable, you've got comfortable chairs. It's a friendly place. You even have some snacks there. And if you come at the right time of day, you've even got Chick-fil-A. How's that?
That's correct.
Tell us about your evolution through the company of Hayward Allen, because it's not Steve Toyota, it's Hayward Allen, right?
Oh, I'll try to be brief, but back in 1973, I came to work temporarily before I was going to go to law school, and that was 51 years ago, and I'm still there. Did not know, have any idea that I was going to go in the car business, but got in it, put my nose to the grindstone, and went from one department to the next, and one position to the next, and eventually became a general manager, then part owner, then my son and I bought the Allen family out, and we wanted to leave the name Hayward Allen because it's such a prominent name in the community and well-respected. It's been there for over 75 years.
You know, Steve, my family did kind of the same thing. My grandfather bought Bishop Brothers Auto Auction out in 1960, and despite the fact that it was my granddad and his three sons in business, they left the name Bishop Brothers Auto Auction in place because that's what people knew, that's what they were comfortable with, that's where the branding was. So I can really relate to that. So I came up through, you know, it wasn't even wholesale back then. It was just open to the public. It was basically little used car dealers, and a lot of people sold used cars out of their front yard back then, and they would come to the auction. They would buy what oftentimes were cars that dealers were not going to retail. It wound up at our auction, and then it wound up in somebody's garage. They fixed it, and then they sold it in their front yard, right?
And today, that vehicle is wanted and needed on any car dealership lot, new or used.
Yeah. Casey, you work with a lot of, you know, a lot of car people. You're looking into the mind of consumers. Do consumers buy cars in front yards anymore?
Not that we research. I imagine it probably happens here and there, but our focus is really a lot on the new car buyer because that's what's driving the decisions from the automakers and the dealerships in turn.
You know, we've got these competitors out there like Carvana. I thought they were going to go under, but they have managed to come back from the dead. You know, folks that are, you know, Steve, buying cars on the phone without ever test driving them and having them delivered to their front yard. Did you ever think you would see a day when that would happen?
No, but I'll tell you, we have what's called a BDC department, Business Development Department. We have roughly 10 people in there. And so we are answering internet leads. We're making phone calls, responding, sending emails, photos, information about vehicles. And I would say almost 80% of the people now are at least starting there. Now, we're not seeing them go from start to end there with a great degree. Yes, to some degree, but majority of them start there, save a lot of time, and then come in. And the transaction time has gone down because of that.
And that really reflects what we're seeing in the market, is that people have varying degrees of comfort of, you know, doing stuff online versus in person. Most people aren't at that place where they want to do the car buying process entirely online. But one of the big pain points is the amount of time that it takes in the dealership. So what you're describing there, Steve, in terms of reducing that amount of time by being able to do stuff beforehand is great.
Steve? I won't go down a rabbit hole, but there's something being proposed and going down the road by the Federal Trade Commission that will change that dramatically, that we will revert back to it probably taking 2, 3, 4 times as much time to do a transaction if this goes through. That's another story.
You know, Steve, if you know, you're sending photos of your used car into the dealership, and then they're going to give you a price. I mean, having worked at the auction, having worked 5 years at Beaudry Ford, which was owned by my childhood mentor, Harmon Bourne, I worked for him right out of college for 5 years. I've ridden on a lot of trade-in test drives with our used car manager, lots of them, hundreds, maybe thousands in 5 years. And it just seems like that, I mean, how can a dealer accurately assess a car, used cars, which every one of them are unique, with 10 pictures without driving the car?
We probably take a little different perspective in that we encourage videos, and we want to walk around video on the exterior, the interior, and a couple of components that really matter are VIN number, of course, so we know exactly what's on the vehicle, and we have equipment as well as the mileage. And with that, Carfax, now you can go get a Carfax and learn the history. And if you see a gap in the service history there, then that raises a little red flag there. I don't want to give you a bad number, but I would say 80-85% of the time, house represented goes hand in hand with the values we put on it.
Wow.
And there's some exceptions to that, but we don't have that many issues.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Steve Middlebrooks from Hayward Allen Toyota here in Athens, Georgia. Steve, you're getting ready to head to Las Vegas for a conference, a board meeting. Tell us about that and why it's important.
Well, I'm blessed. I'm the state of Georgia representative for all the dealers in the state of Georgia, regardless of your make and model. And so we will go out there, and I will meet with dealer representing the state of North Carolina, you know, Vermont, everywhere. And the makeup are dealers of all the various manufacturers. And so we will meet for two and a half days and go over all the different topics and interests going on in the car business these days. And I would tell you that the number one topic is EVs. That's the number one topic. And so we discuss a lot of things as it relates, as I said, to meetings with the Congress. Five times this past summer, we went up to D.C. to meet with them to try to explain that we are not against EVs. We're not against EVs, but we as a overall body can't make the mandate of 2032.
Casey, I was recently on a call that Electric Vehicle Association, Elaine from California, yeah. We met her out there when we were out for that trip, did. She had a lady from Harvard on who was a rebate and tax credit expert, and she was going through her slide deck and just showing how the number of cars that qualify for an EV tax credit has been going down and down and down, and now we've got just a really tiny handful of cars that qualify. We seem to be going backwards there.
So two things I'll say about that. One is, as it relates to the number of EVs that we're selling, that's a bad trend, because as the number that have qualified has gone down, the sensitivity that people have to price has gone up, right? You're well past the early adopters that are willing to pay a premium just to be first. And so, you know, people are saying, yeah, EV, but it can't be $5,000, $7,000 more than an equivalent gas car. So that's a challenge. But for those folks who are listening, most manufacturers are including the $7,500 federal tax credit as part of the leasing. Usually it's a capital cost reduction. But basically, if you lease an EV, regardless of maker model. Again, there are some exceptions there, but most manufacturers are doing this. You can get that tax credit. So that would be my advice for right now, unless you are interested in one of those very few models that are eligible for the purchase tax credit.
Steve, she was talking about an own the hood cash that you could get right there, or the kind that then you have to go and apply for and talk to your accountant about. Does that come up in the dealerships?
Well, it does, but it has become easier to get that money. We, in years past, have had to jump through so many hoops that have been very difficult. But as just mentioned, there's so few that the $7,500 applies. It will apply, as mentioned, and it goes, that $7,500 goes back to the manufacturer. It doesn't come back to the dealer. So that's between the customer and the manufacturer.
Yeah, I see. Just another 30 seconds here. Casey, we're going to talk more about Toyota's approach on
it's a very interesting approach.
In the next segment. Casey, you know I've had seven EVs. You've had
three, four if we include my wife's.
Yeah. Yeah, so we both have had a lot of experience with it. We, I would say, are EV evangelists. We've been slapped around a little bit by folks who maybe are EV haters. There's some folks that really don't like it. We're going to talk about that. Of course, I've got a big family. I have seven children. I am the car dealer's dream customer, right? Especially committed to using dealers. Right, I'm very committed to using members of the Georgia Automobile Dealer Association. So,
thank you.
I am very committed. So when we come back with Steve, we're going to talk more about how Toyota's dealing with this. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Eccles here for GEM Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Hey, welcome back to Energy Matters. We're talking cars today in the studio. Casey Boyce, my co-host, also with Escalent. Welcome back, Casey.
Thanks. Always fun to be talking cars.
Yeah, and we've got Steve here. He and his son own a couple dealerships here. The dealership I deal with is the Toyota dealership because my wife, Steve, loves Toyotas. We've had three Priuses. We've had two RAV4s. The reliability of these Toyotas is unbelievable.
I'm just blessed because of that. And if you've walked around our dealership, you'll see we have several placards on the wall that simply has to each manufacturer, and it has the average cost of ownership over a 10-year period and list every manufacturer. And fortunately, Toyota is the lowest. So it doesn't mean that every vehicle is going to be like that. We know people all the time say, you know, I just never have a problem with my Toyota. And I say, well, honestly, if that was the case, we wouldn't have a service department, and we do have a service department. So there are needs.
That's right. That preventive maintenance is important. I'm in there every 5,000 miles myself, sitting in your waiting room, and you guys do such a fantastic job.
Thank you. Talk to
us a little bit about Toyota's approach on the EVs, because it has been different. And I've heard y'all talk about 1690. Kind of unpack where the manufacturer is on electric and hydrogen vehicles.
I'll step back to a meeting a couple of years ago from Akio Toyota, who was the CEO at the time of Toyota and has been for years and years. And he stepped back, and he's still on the board of directors. But to his point, he said, we will get there, but we're still committed to the combustion engine. But more than anything, we're committed to what the consumer wants. And what we have seen in the Toyota is the consumer has primarily wanted hybrid. And the hybrid has been, it will be available in almost every model of Toyota within the next 12 to 18 months.
Would you say that customers these days, maybe that hadn't been interested in hybrids, are they, maybe they're a Tundra buyer, Tacoma buyer, Camry buyer, are they considering while they're, you know, out there walking the lot, are they saying, well, let me drive that hybrid and see how it feels? Are they getting in that car?
Yes, and I'll back up to say the difference in the cost of a hybrid versus a gas engine as little as 2 to 3 years ago was $2,000 to $4,000. Well, that gap is more like, you know, $1,200, $1,500. So the gap is not that much. Whereas the fuel economy obviously is increased. And the gap is widened from the regular gas. But I would tell you that if we had all hybrids on the lot, we would sell all of them. The demand is there. And you mentioned RAV4 and Prius. Well, RAV4 is the volume car that's evolved over the years. It used to be the Corolla, which it still is, but the RAV4 being the SUV, more and more people are wanting SUVs. So that is a number one volume hybrid car.
Casey, people say that Toyota has been slow to the market with EVs, but they don't remember the RAV4 that Toyota came out with that was electric way back. And we heard heard about that with Kitty Adams in California because she had one with a paddle charger, right?
Yeah, this was way back in the day. And yeah, Toyota was one of the early investors in Tesla, and they used a Tesla motor and Tesla batteries. And actually, I saw one recently here in Georgia. They were only sold in California at the time. But cool cars. Steve, I'm really curious your take on kind of what Toyota's doing around this, because, you know, in our research, we see Toyota has incredible green credentials, right? And the leadership in hybrid, I think, is a big part of that, right? People think of Toyota and they think of hybrid, and so they think Toyota must be doing something really green. At the same time, and we do see, you know, demand for hybrids, but we're almost seeing kind of people saying, I'm not really interested in a stopgap anymore. Either I'm going to stick with my ICE engine, my combustion engine, or I'm going to go EV. I'm not going to do something that's in the middle like a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid. That doesn't make sense to me. And I'm curious your perspective on the ground and talking to your customers. Are you seeing something similar, or is hybrid so synonymous with Toyota that that's not really an issue? Like, what are you seeing?
We're not actually seeing that. But keep in mind, there's a big difference between different parts of the country, California, mm-hmm. Oregon, New York. That's where, if you want a Prius Prime, if you want a RAV4 Prime, you know, with the EV, they're not being sent to the southern states with a great degree. They're primarily sent in those particular states. So we don't get that many.
Yeah.
We don't get that many. But going back to your question, I'd probably be going against the grain for both of you. Not that there's anything wrong with EVs, because when we get one, we sell it, but we just don't get that many of them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get that many of them. But the demand for us in the South is still hybrid.
Yeah.
It's still hybrid.
Well, I think that goes back to you had made the comment about, maybe the administration going a little bit faster than the market, would bear. And I think part of it is a demand side thing. I mean, frankly, if Toyota had a really solid EV lineup, you guys could sell every one of those that got produced, and the volume's not there for, you know, Toyota and a lot of other manufacturers, to be fair, not picking on Toyota.
Right. But knowing the research that you do, you also know if you take a look right now with the day supply, and if we take a look at day supply based on gas engine, hybrid engine, and EVs across the country, you're going to be looking at gas engines around the 22-day supply. Hybrids is more like, you know, 12-day supply. EVs are anywhere from 90 to 100-day supply. Meaning, you mentioned the early adopters. The early adopters have jumped up and taking these, taking those EVs and been, you know, pleased with them. But now we see them slower.
Yeah. You know, Steve, people think they want an EV, right? Now, I'm an EV evangelist. I've had seven of them. But EVs are inconvenient. And if you're just in Atlanta or you're just driving around Athens, a piece of cake, no problem. But if you are out and about driving on the highways and byways, you may have to wait a little bit for a charger. You may get to a broken charger, and you may be angry. You may have other issues. So I think people can get infatuated with an EV. Now, again, I'm not discouraging anybody from test driving one or buying one, but I mean, my wife and daughters are great examples. They have driven my Nissan Leaf, you know, in multiple situations for thousands of miles. But what are they both driving now? Toyota Priuses. They've gone back to the hybrid because they both have said, I don't want to have to go to a charger. And they feel like they are participating in the green economy by driving a hybrid, getting 52 miles a gallon, but they don't have the fear that comes with pulling up to a broken charger.
Correct. I may be going down another path, but one of the things that we're looking at with EVs are the components that make up the lithium battery. And this may not be the direction you want to go, but, you know, I look back and all of us, I'm not sure if you were around with the gas crunch back in the 70s.
That predated me.
I thought that would. But, you know, there was a concern because of the shortage back then. And then we were still producing, obviously, oil a lot in the United States, et cetera, et cetera. But our dependency on China is of great concern to me. And that's where 67 to 70% of the components of the lithium battery are coming from right now. So, you know, how can we become less dependent on China and also, you know, produce the components in the United States so that, you know, we don't have that fear of getting caught short.
I mean, is it true that you can make 90 hybrids with the same amount of raw material that it takes to make one powerful EV? Is that right?
That's what Toyota is saying, and that's what we went and sat before Raphael Warnock and Ossoff and McCarthy and so forth and presented that information.
Wow. Casey, that's a staggering number. And when you think about, you know, doing the most good, which is the Salvation Army's slogan, and they're one of our sponsors, it seems like 90 people in a hybrid is a pretty good thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Tim, because, you know, I think this is where kind of the logical and the emotional answer may not square, right? To my question to Steve earlier, like, you know, the data that we're seeing isn't kind of this mass migration into hybrids. Again, not to say that there aren't people who want hybrids. There are plenty of people out there that right. want hybrids. But that saying, okay, everyone has to move into a hybrid is not kind of where people's heads are. So it's a little bit of like butting heads with the market in terms of Toyota's position on this versus what we're seeing in the data. And by the way, I mean, just to be clear, like anyone should be able to choose what works for them, right?
Right.
But I mean, it's just an interesting approach.
Well, keep in mind, we have the GM dealership as well. So we're selling the Cadillac Lyric and the GMC Hummer. And I actually checked with my son before I came here, and we have like, I think, 24 sold order Lyrics. And those, he's driving one as a demonstrator. and he loves it.
Casey, we got to bring him back one more segment.
Yeah.
We weren't planning on it, but we have to. Stick around. We got Steve Middlebrooks from Hayward Allen. We're going to talk about all things cars, EVs, hybrids, and maybe some other fun things in just a minute. It's Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the project share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking projectshareinfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Hello, island friends. Let me tell you about Tim Echols. Mr. Tim loves Georgia and helped keep our rates low. He knows everything about energy and has led by example. I hope you listen to his radio show called Energy Matters. Join me in supporting Tim.
Hey, Tim Echols back. One more segment with Steve Middlebrooks and Hayward Allen, Casey Boyce here. We're talking Toyota, specifically Toyota's 1690 philosophy. Steve, can you explain the 1690 and what that means?
Well, the one being the EV, the six being the BEV, and the 90 being the hybrid. And Toyota, it says the amount of raw materials in one long-range battery electric vehicle could instead be used to make six plug-in hybrid electric vehicles or 90 hybrid vehicles. And it says the overall carbon reduction of those 90 hybrids over their lifetime is 37 times as much as a single battery electric vehicle.
Casey, this is a staggering statistic.
Yeah.
37 times more what, Steve? More less carbon? 37%?
As much as a single electric vehicle.
Wow. So, Casey, you have folks out there that are wanting to do right by the environment, and they're, you know, they're considering EVs. I mean, you and I are geeks, right? I mean, we love the technology piece of it. We love the challenge of it. But there are people out there now that we've had EVs kind of mainstream since the Leaf came out in 12, who are wanting to do right. And this number really cast a big shadow on this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's really interesting is that if you're really committed to an outcome, environmental or otherwise, right, you need to be looking at things objectively. And so I haven't personally checked the numbers, but I'm going to take them at face value in terms of what that they are, you know, along the lines of what Toyota says. And the implication would be, well, we need to be doing all hybrids, right? Which Toyota really is, as you were saying in a previous segment, Steve, pretty much the whole lineup either is or will soon be hybrid for Toyota. I think where it's funny because you know, my argument for BEVs is less so from the environmental perspective and more so from the consumer's perspective, in the sense that I'm just not seeing the demand for hybrid growing the way that demand for an EV is. And so it's an interesting challenge, right? Like this idea that we should let the marketplace choose. All right, let's let the marketplace choose and see what happens. I'm skeptical that hybrids end up winning the day, but you know, if we really have a fair playing field, you know, they could.
Well, I would tell you that I think it's a timing issue. From the way we look at it, is that hybrid right now is where the demand is. EVs, I think, will evolve, mm-hmm. but you know, what are some of the issues that you're faced with driving EVs? One of them is charging stations. Mm-hmm. Are the charging stations, are they where, you know, if you're traveling, are they available, you know, whatever? And whereas it may suit driver A, driver B may say, wait a minute, I'm not going to chance that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to chance that.
And I think that gets back to the idea of, you know, folks know their own needs best, right?
Correct.
Tim, you talked about your wife and daughter driving the Priuses because they don't want to have to deal with the public charging. You know what? Like, that's an okay choice for them to make, right?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I think driving a Prius for our family, it has been a tutor. We'll call it a tutor for a full battery electric vehicle, right? Because with the Prius, depending on the, you know, the display that you put up, you can see if you're putting energy back in the battery, right? Prius drivers, for a long time, have competed with themselves. You've heard this, I'm sure, Steve, that, you know, to see if they can better that gas mileage, right? And they find out that coasting down hills increases their gas mileage. So really, Priuses have taught people, in some ways, how to drive economically, right?
I agree with you. And it's so, if you will, somewhat counterintuitive that, wait a minute, I'm saving more in town than I am on the road. The Priuses, we would give anything if we had a lot full. I don't mind telling you. We would sell a lot full, but that the Priuses have evolved, as I mentioned, into primarily the RAV4. I'm driving a Sequoia hybrid, big
yeah.
SUV, top of the line, and I won't tell you that it's getting 30 miles to the gallon, but I will tell you that it's getting more fuel efficient than the other gas engine.
Casey, you know, this idea of it being a tutor, was that the case with your family?
Well, our EVs haven't exactly had that. I mean, I think they've got those like displays, gamified displays. We haven't really paid a whole lot of attention, but I will tell you a fun story. So my in-laws are big Toyota people. I think they've had 4 Priuses so far. And the first time I drove a Prius was my mother-in-law's. It was a second generation Prius. So it was kind of the first one that really blew up here in the U.S. in terms of sales. And I was driving it in upstate New York, and that little display there allowed me to coax it to get 65 miles to the gallon. And I was just like, that's really cool. So, yeah, it works.
Let's talk about just the corporate average fuel economy for a second. The CAFE standard, been controversial. I don't know that manufacturers would be able to meet it without a hybrid engine, would they?
No. And it's going to be a challenge for you, big three, you know, the GM, Ford, and Chrysler, because of the emphasis and demand for trucks. That's the seller, the big SUVs and trucks, number one seller in GM, as they are with Ford, F-150, we all know the demand there. It is a challenge.
Does the Sequoia allow you, if you're towing a boat or a camper, maximum payload, is it going to lock out the electric engine, or how does that work on a towing?
You may be asking the wrong person there. I don't want to tell you wrong. I think if I try to answer that, I'd tell you the wrong. Casey, I may.
Yeah, I don't know how the Sequoia handles that. I mean, one of the things that I think is really interesting are some of the, I mean, certainly the electric trucks that are out there right now are cool, but if you hook up a trailer to it, you're going to completely kill the range. The Dodge is coming out with a range extended, I guess it's Ram, is coming out with a range extended EV truck. And what's really cool about that, I think, is that one of the things that I love about the EV, Tim, I'm sure you do too, right, is that instant torque, right, that hit of power.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so it can tow really well. The issue is range. But if you've got that backup gas engine in there, well, range becomes less of an issue. So you get really high performance towing. I've heard people who have towed with EV trucks that they said it's like the trailer's not even there. They can't tell.
Steve, you mentioned the Prius Prime. There's a RAV4 version of the Prime too,
correct,
isn't it? Hard to get those allocations down here in the South because California people just gobble them up, right?
Yes.
You know, these other states. But is it something your Toyota customers are asking for and they just can't get? Or are folks pretty much happy with the standard hybrid engine?
In the Southeast, they're happy with the hybrid right now. We do not have the demand for the Prius Prime as much. We will, at any given time, let's say, we during the COVID, we got up to 580 sold orders in the system. And now, of course, it's more in the 200 range. And I would say of that 200, you're probably, I don't want to tell you wrong, 50% gas, 50% hybrid, but maybe scale that 50% hybrid down to 45% and 5% EV.
Yeah. Casey, you know, one thing you don't have to worry about with a hybrid or even a plug-in hybrid is upgrading the power grid, right? And this power grid is expensive to upgrade. It's enormous. And EVs are a factor that Georgia Power and other utilities are looking at as they are doing their integrated resource planning. But with a hybrid, you're not really even having to think about that. There's that.
Sure. And, you know, there was infrastructure that was built out over the course of the 20th century, really, to enable you to not think about it, right? The gas stations, you go back and it's really interesting if you haven't go back and like read stories of some of the first people who bought gas cars, right? And they're trying to do long distances and they're stopping at little, you know, country stores and they buy the gallons of gasoline from the behind the counter. I mean, it's fascinating stuff if you want to think about infrastructure.
Just another 2 minutes here with Steve. You know, as we kind of wrap up our conversation on Toyota, what are some things you want the audience to know?
That Toyota is sold on EVs, even though we're not selling them. They are sold but on EVs, but they also want to sell what the general public is wanting to buy right now. But I will tell you, if Toyota would provide us with more EVs, we would sell more EVs. But in the Southeast, maybe we're behind in the way of the thinking of the New Yorks and the Californias. But I think more than anything, it's just that evolved. Obviously, we go back to Tesla. Where was number one sales? California. And so it's coming, but it's not here yet.
I do want to be the first guy to get a Toyota Mirai hydrogen fuel cell car in the state and drive it on a regular basis. So I just want to let you know, give
Good.
You a heads up,
okay,
that I want to get one of these. I'm working hard with Hyundai down in Savannah and DOT to get some hydrogen fueling stations because you got to have that, right?
Yes.
We'll have to tape a show from inside your Mirai, Tim. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, Toyota is high on hydrogen, as are many other manufacturers.
Yes, yes. Well, it's been great. How can folks find out about Hayward Allen Toyota?
Well, HaywardAllenToyota.com on the internet, as well as we're on 2910 Atlanta Highway in Athens, Georgia, and we're more than happy to assist anyone we possibly can.
And Casey, just wrapping up with Escalent, as you guys have looked at consumer attitudes towards all of these things, final comments.
Yeah, if you're interested in learning more about what we're seeing, just go to Escalent.co. There's no M, it's just .co. And there's a blog. You'll find blogs that I've written. And thanks for the opportunity.
Well, stick around. A hippie segment coming up in just a minute. You know how that works. We play 70 songs, and you help us figure out what energy policy it relates to. Special thanks to Steve for being on today. This is Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill, simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at SolarSunWorld.com. SolarSunWorld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back. One more segment. Our hippie segment, Casey, my favorite.
Always your favorite.
Yeah, I love 70s music. I subscribe to Sirius XM, and they've got a channel dedicated just to 70s music. So listen to a little bit of that. And Logan, I listen to a little bit of fantasy sports as well. You know, I'm a big fantasy football guy. Not the gambling kind, but... If you're at home and you're listening, we play a 70s song, and then you guess what energy policy we're talking about. So let's jump into our first song. Casey, sometimes folks will call me and they will say, how long? How long until we're going to get more solar? How long until we're going to build another nuclear reactor? How long until this or that? And folks are wanting change. They're wanting to be able to adopt technology. They want to be paid a fair price for it, sometimes even better than fair price if they can get it. Can you blame them? But I mean, this song just reminds me of a lot of the interaction that I have with people out there in the marketplace who are, you know, maybe they, you know, kind of wish they were living in California, but they're living in Georgia. And we at the commission, we're pretty conservative, and part of conservative ideology is going slow. We don't really make knee-jerk reactions at the commission. We like to, you know, to test things, and we're we're slow to move off the status quo, especially if it's been working, if it's been effective. What comes to your mind when you hear this this song? How long?
Well, I am thinking of the reaction that you and your fellow commissioners and other state commissioners might have when they realize that, despite many energy companies having a regulated monopoly, there actually is competition out there and people are choosing things other than the regulated monopoly. There's some really interesting stuff happening out there nationally. And I think the structure of regulation is not unique to Georgia in any way, shape or form, is going to undergo and need to undergo some pretty significant changes in the coming decades, because there are others that are out there competing with the incumbent utility, and someone's going to be asking, how long has this been going on?
Yeah, yeah. Faith, how about you when you hear this song, how long?
You know, when I hear the phrase how long, it just makes me think of the Vogtle nuclear construction that we've been undergoing. Uh-huh. But, you know, that has paid off. We've got one reactor up. One of the new reactors is up. It's uh-huh. online. It's contributing power back uh-huh. to the grid. And the fourth one should be up any day now. But, you know, as long as I've been at the commission, we've had Vogel
as
part of our life.
It has been long, and that's a question that I've asked Georgia Power a lot.
How long?
How long? Yeah, all right, Logan, let's hear our second song. Necessarily recommending dancing, though it is good exercise, Casey.
Yeah, a great thing to do on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, there it is. But you know, when we think about, you know, as a state, the different types of energy that we're dancing with out there, right? We've got a lot of natural gas, we've got a little bit of coal left, we've got some hydro, we're importing some wind from Oklahoma. We've got 8 gigawatts of solar, we've got 4 nuclear reactors in Augusta, another 2. So we've got a lot of dance partners to make this grid work reliably and with prices below the national average.
So I don't know the entire song, but the way that sounded to me was sort of plaintive, unrequited love kind of thing.
Hold it, what does that mean?
It means you love someone else, but it's not necessarily being returned in kind.
Yeah.
And what that made me think of, Tim, and we've talked about it on this show before, right, in terms of like how different people can come together and really get stuff done. I see people across the energy space, whether they're in favor of nuclear or renewable or natural gas or whatever. You other people, you should be, you know, wanting us to be there, right? Like, you know, natural gas goes together with renewables like peanut butter and jelly. And it doesn't necessarily happen that way because people aren't really engaging to understand deeply where other parts of the energy ecosystem and other advocates are coming from. So that's my reaction, is that we just need to open our hearts and minds, and maybe there's a little less unrequited love out there across the energy ecosystem.
Faith, I'm going to have another cup of coffee before I can totally comprehend Casey's philosophical jaunt there. How about you? What does this remind you of?
I mean, you know, I can get what Casey's saying, but I think the tone of the song to me is like not necessarily unrequited love, but a wooing of the partner. And so I think that there is potential for the different advocates of different types of renewable energy and of other types of energy, even fossil fuels, to come together and all participate in a dance. They Ooh. May be doing different steps, but they can still be dancing to the same music.
Wow, this has got to be the deepest hippie segment we've ever experienced. At home, please go ahead and just make you another cup of coffee. Let's do one more song.
And then you pay the price, the things we do for love, the things we do for love.
Well, Casey, the things we do for love. I mean, I have to tell you about falling in the river. The first part of that song reminds me of Paddle Georgia, when I went on Paddle Georgia with a vintage cedar strip canoe got pinned up against a log and was dumped in the river, and my CO2 life vest took off and about choked me. We thought we were going to lose the canoe. We thought the snakes were going to get us. It was a disaster. But when it comes to love, Faith, I often tell you that we're in the friend-making business at the commission, that we really want to, you know, help solve people's problems. And I mean, ultimately, It's the things that we are trying to do for our constituents and others to educate them about renewable energy, EVs, you know, insulation, all the stuff we do on the show. All the stuff we do on the show is trying to help people have a better experience. What comes to your mind on this song?
Yeah, so just to me, it sounds like the song is talking about, you know, love falling apart, right? Mm-hmm. Broken hearts falling into the river. And it just, sometimes we try things, mm-hmm. right, in the energy space, and they just don't work. And I think about the wind project, you know, that we tried here in Georgia.
Yeah.
And turns out Georgia wasn't really suited to wind. No. So sometimes we try things and they just don't work out, and we just have to move on from that heartbreak, right? It's just broken hearts falling into the river.
Yeah, Casey, can you beat that?
In that same vein, all I could think of is Vogel, and I'm just going to leave it there.
Oh. Casey.
Casey.
Yeah, the things we do for love. I guess, you know, I guess as you think about Plant Vogel now, you know, there's been so many challenges, but its own. Georgia's getting a lot of accolades. We need the energy. We need the energy more than ever. And I just, you know, I just wish there hadn't been a bankruptcy, you know, from Westinghouse. There's so many things that fell into the river.
A lot of people did a lot of things for love of Vogel.
And we were able, in the end, to get it done. But Casey, if there are things that you do for the love of clean energy that kind of drive you?
I mean, I think part of it is just talking about it, right, Tim? I mean, you know, we've talked on the show about solar before. We've talked about EVs, both of which I've got firsthand experience with. I like sharing my experience. Are they, you know, the best thing ever with no downsides? No. And so part of it is talking about the good and the bad and just being as honest with folks as we can be. But really, that's probably it, is just talking about it.
Well, there you go. We'd love to hear from you. You can just email me, tim@timeckles.com. We hope you'll follow us. You can go to anywhere you get your podcast, search for Energy Matters with Commissioner Eccles, and follow, and we'll send you the show every Tuesday morning. You've been listening to Energy Matters. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. I'm Tim Eccles.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.